Well, today we're going to continue our series on the Gospel by Mark.
Hoy vamos a continuar nuestro estudio sobre el Evangelio de Marcos.
If you're following along in the book, we're in lesson number 9.
Si están siguiendo en sus libros, estamos en lección 9.
And today's lesson is entitled, Jesus Confronts Religious Leaders.
El título de la lección de hoy es, Jesús enfrenta a los líderes religiosos.
And if you want to follow along in the Bible, you can turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 2.
Si quieren seguir en sus Biblias, pueden ir a Marcos capítulo 2.
And we'll go through Mark chapter 2 and part of chapter 3.
Vamos a leer de capítulo 2 y parte de capítulo 3.
And so let's go ahead and open in prayer.
Vamos a abrir en oración.
Lord, we ask that you would bless our Sunday school lesson this morning. We pray that you would have your way from the beginning to the end. We pray that you would open up your word to each and every one of our hearts. Bless all that we study, and we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Our central truth this morning is this. Jesus confronted errors and legalism with authority.
Nuestra verdad central es Jesús hizo frente a los errores y al legalismo con autoridad.
And that's wonderful because Jesus had the authority to do it.
Jesús tenía la autoridad para hacerlo.
And as we'll go through our lesson today,
mientras que estudiamos la lección de hoy,
we'll begin to see the errors that were creeping into the religion of the Jews.
Vamos a entender acerca los errores que entraron en a los judíos.
Our key verse this morning is found in Mark chapter 2 and verse 28.
Nuestro versículo clave se encuentra en Marcos 2, 28.
Somebody want to read Mark 2, 28. Mm-hmm. This verse is a powerful verse when we consider the Sabbath and Sabbath keeping.
Este verso es muy poderoso en considerar el día de reposo.
And so we're not going to deal with it now, but as we get into this, we will see how the Sabbath day became an issue in regards to law keeping.
Mientras que estudiamos nuestra lección, vamos a entender que el día de reposo vino a ser una situación que tenían que tratar.
So throughout the Gospels, Jesus faced more opposition from the religious leaders than from those outside the Jewish community.
En los Evangelios vemos que Jesús enfrentó más oposición a su ministerio por parte de los líderes religiosos que de aquellos que no eran parte de la comunidad judía.
Now stop and think about that for a little bit.
Para pensar acerca de esto por un momento.
Most of his opposition came from the religious leaders.
La mayoría de su oposición vino de los líderes religiosos.
These were the ones that should have known the Messiah was in their midst.
Este era el grupo que debía de saber que el Mesías estaba con ellos.
Yet sadly, they didn't recognize him and therefore they opposed Jesus Christ.
Pero tristemente no reconocieron a Jesús como Mesías y por eso tenían oposición a él.
It's sad. They refused to recognize Jesus as the Messiah.
Es muy triste que ellos no querían reconocer a Jesús como su Mesías.
In some ways, he didn't fit their image of who the Messiah was supposed to be.
En algunas maneras, él no era cual ellos imaginaban ser el Mesías.
And part of the reason for their opposition,
y parte de la razón de su oposición a él,
is that Jesus challenged their traditions.
Es que Jesús desafió a sus tradiciones.
Jesus didn't just go in the mold or just go through the motions.
Jesús no solamente pasó por los mociones como ellos.
No, he came to lead in the way of truth.
Él era líder de verdad.
And sometimes that way of truth contradicted their traditions.
Y a veces esa manera de verdad era en contradicción a sus tradiciones.
And so we have a video
Tenemos un video para enseñar.
I think it's around 5 minutes or so.
Como 5 minutos.
And what it does is it helps to explain where the Pharisees came from and some of what they did.
Y este video ayuda a explicar acerca de los fariseos y qué hicieron ese grupo.
And so I'm going to hit play on this video.
Have you ever noticed that family conflict is the worst kind? When moms and dads argue, or parents and kids, or brothers and sisters, the feelings are more intense than when neighbors or coworkers argue. I want you to keep that emotional dynamic of family conflict in mind as we study Mark 2 today. It helps explain the intensity of the conflicts between Jesus and the Pharisees that we read about in that chapter. Now, wait a minute, I can hear you saying, Jesus and the Pharisees weren't family, they were enemies. Now, it's true that Jesus and the Pharisees had their share of disagreements. Mark 2 highlights just some of them. But it's also true that in the first century, Jesus and the Pharisees had more in common, theologically speaking, than with any other group of Jews in that period. That commonality created a kind of kinship. This theological family resemblance explains why Jesus said, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." Jesus' problem with the Pharisees, in other words, was their hypocrisy. The family resemblance between Jesus and the Pharisees also explains why notable Pharisees such as Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea revered Jesus as a teacher and took care to bury his body after his crucifixion. Similarly, it explains the presence of Pharisees who followed Jesus after his resurrection in the Jerusalem church. It even explains why some Pharisees rose to the early Christians' defense, like in Acts 5, when the apostles were arraigned before the Sanhedrin for preaching the gospel. Gamaliel, a well-known Pharisee and Paul's teacher, came to their defense saying, "Leave these men alone. Let them go." The reason for the family resemblance between Jesus and the Pharisees was their common desire to keep Israel's covenant with God in the face of temptations to abandon it. The Pharisees arose in the late 2nd century BC as a response to Hellenism, the attempt by certain Greeks to impose a Greek way of life on all cultures under their control. Hellenism required Jews to change almost every aspect of their lives. It prohibited circumcision, a kosher diet, monotheistic worship, observance of Jewish religious feasts, and the list goes on. This led to disputes among the Jews about what it meant to be authentically Jewish. The Pharisees believed that the entire nation, not just its priests, should consecrate themselves to God. They believed that the whole nation should obey the whole law of God, the covenant God made at Sinai. Now, in order to make sure that people obeyed God's law, they began to grow a hedge of protection around the law to make sure that people wouldn't inadvertently transgress the law. That evolved into hedges of protection around that hedge of protection. This is what Jesus referred to as human traditions. Now, Jesus didn't have a problem with observing the law. Indeed, in the Sermon on the Mount, he declared, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." But when the Pharisees' human traditions got in the way of the actual letter or intent of the law, Jesus made his disagreements with the Pharisees known. For example, in Mark 2, the Pharisees' tradition forbade table fellowship with unclean people like sinners and tax collectors. Jesus, on the other hand, declared that the ultimate purpose of God's self-revelation was redemptive, saying, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And while regular fasting was part of the Pharisees' tradition, Jesus' disciples didn't fast when he was with them. Why? Well, because people don't fast at a wedding feast, and Jesus is the bridegroom. "But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them," Jesus said, "and on that day they will fast." Notice that the disagreements don't concern whether or not the people ought to keep covenant with God and obey his law. They concern how the people keep the law. The Pharisees grew traditions as hedges of protection to prevent being tempted to be tempted to disobey God's law. But Jesus cut down those hedges to remind people of God's redemptive purpose and also that the law was made for humanity's flourishing. Now, in addition to disagreeing about tradition, Jesus and the Pharisees also disagreed about who he was, his identity. At the beginning of Mark 2, Jesus forgives the sins of a paralyzed man, and the Pharisees take offense at that. So, Jesus heals the man in order to demonstrate that if he has the power to heal, he also has the power to forgive. In other words, he's the Lord. Regardless of the family resemblances between Jesus and the Pharisees, these two issues, human traditions and Jesus' identity, were the source of conflict between them. With that background about Jesus and the Pharisees in mind, your teacher is now going to lead you through a detailed study of Mark 2.
Now, as we get into Mark chapter 2,
mientras que estudiamos Marcos 2,
have you ever, and just keep this in mind as we go forward,
tenemos una pregunta y manténgalo en mente mientras que seguimos adelante.
What kind of activities or tasks can you name that you do a certain way because your parents or someone else did them that way or because you've always done them that way? Think about it.
¿Qué actividades o tareas puede nombrar que usted hace a cierta manera porque sus padres o otra persona las hicieron así o simplemente porque siempre las ha hecho de esa manera?
Are there certain activities that you do or have done just because your parents told you to do them that way? Are there certain things that you do or have done? You guys tell me.
Ustedes, díganme a mí.
Brother Pedro? The way that you tie your shoes?
Él contestó la manera que cierras sus zapatos. O...
Anything else? Cooking and cleaning? Respect people the way that the parents taught you to?
He said wash dishes.
Wash dishes. Yeah, that's good. Wash dishes.
Han contestado de cocinar, de limpiar, de tener respeto, de lavar las trastes.
Mm-hmm. Christmas and Thanksgiving traditions done a particular way because our parents did them that way. What else?
Las tradiciones de Christmas y el día de dar gracias porque nuestra familia lo hizo de alguna manera.
Praying before meals.
De
yes.
Orar antes de comer.
There's many different things, wouldn't there be?
Hay muchas diferentes cosas que podemos contestar.
There may be certain things that our parents told us on how to bake a cake.
Quizás hay una manera que nuestro mamá o papá nos dijeron para cocinar un pastel.
And we make it the way that they told us to make it, even if there's easier ways to do it.
Y lo hacemos de esa manera, aunque quizás hay otra manera más fácil.
But there are tortillas.
De hacer tortillas también.
We make them a particular way, and it's the way our parents or someone that loved us taught us.
Y lo hacemos de una manera que nuestros papás nos enseñaron.
And it doesn't matter if it was our parents that taught us or someone else. We believe that that's the best way to do them because they told us that that's the best way to do them.
Si era nuestro papá o mamá o alguien que nos amaban, lo hacemos porque ellos nos enseñaron de esa manera.
In many ways, these are traditions that we've carried even into our lives, and we've even taught those to our own children.
Y estos son tradiciones que nosotros hemos guardado y aún hemos enseñado a nuestros hijos.
We have traditions, family traditions today.
Nosotros tenemos tradiciones de nuestra familia.
And with that in mind,
y con esto en mente,
the Pharisees also began to make particular traditions in keeping the law.
También los fariseos hicieron algunas tradiciones que ellos pensaban era necesario para mantener la ley.
And what began to happen is that these traditions that they had made in keeping the law,
pero lo que empezó a pasar que estas tradiciones que hicieron,
they began to lift these traditions to be equal to the law.
ellos lo levantaron a estas tradiciones a ser igualmente importante a la ley.
So if you broke a particular tradition, they said you were in sin.
Entonces los fariseos decían si alguien quebraba una tradición era pecado.
And so these were only traditions, they were not the law of God.
Pero simplemente eran tradiciones, no eran la ley de Dios.
And so it was these traditions that Jesus challenged.
Y eran estas tradiciones del hombre que Jesús desafió.
Now Jesus came to bring salvation from sin and to give us a new life in the Spirit.
Jesús vino a traer salvación del pecado y una vida nueva en el Espíritu.
But sadly, as he was doing his ministry, there were voices of legalism that opposed him.
Pero tristemente, cuando él hacía su ministerio, salieron voces de oposición de legalismo que hablaban.
And they would point to these man-made rules or man-made traditions to come against Jesus.
Y apuntaban a estas tradiciones de hombre para venir en contra de Jesús.
And so in our lesson today, we'll see this confrontation.
Y en nuestra lección de hoy, vamos a ver esta situación.
Now, part one is about healing and forgiveness.
Parte uno, la sanidad y el perdón.
So the first subpoint is first things first.
Lo primero es lo primero.
Does somebody want to read Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 7?
Vamos a leer Marcos 2, 1 a 7.
This account in the Gospel of Mark.
Esta historia encontrado en el libro de Marcos.
Shows that the Messiah, or Jesus Christ, had come to provide forgiveness of sin.
Nos enseña que Jesús el Mesías vino a proveer perdón y salvación.
And this forgiveness of sin would provide reconciliation between the person and God.
Y esta salvación de pecado iba a proveer reconciliación a Dios.
But through this forgiveness and reconciliation, he would also provide healing.
Y por medio de esta salvación y reconciliación, también iba a proveer sanidad.
And so because Jesus is performing these miracles,
y porque Jesús estaba haciendo estos milagros,
Jesus' ministry is becoming so announced or so well known,
el ministerio de Jesús estaba haciéndose proclamado,
it was beginning to make it challenging for him to move around openly.
Y era trajo un desafío a él de poder viajar liberalmente.
And so in this account, Jesus is back in Capernaum.
Y en esta historia, Jesús se encontró en Capernaum.
He's there. He had performed miracles there before.
Él había hecho milagros ahí antes.
And we see that he's there in the house and immediately the crowds begin to fill the house where he is.
Y leemos que él estaba ahí en la casa y inmediatamente un grupo grande estaba alrededor con
and
él.
There's this paralyzed man that's being brought to him on a mat.
Y había este hombre paralítico que lo trajeron a Jesús en su camilla.
And when they come to the house, they can't get in. It's so jam-packed. It's like, you know, sardines. Jam-packed like sardines.
Y cuando trajeron a este hombre, no podían entrar porque estaba mucha gente como sardines ahí.
And so they're not able to get in. So they climb to the top of the roof. They dig out and make a way for them to lower him to Jesus in the sight of all of the people there in that house.
Entonces, cuatro hombres se fueron arriba de la casa para bajar al hombre a Jesús.
And it says Jesus saw their faith.
Y la Biblia nos dice que Jesús vio la fe de ellos.
They had faith, didn't they?
Ellos sí tenían fe, ¿no?
How do we know that they had faith?
¿Cómo sabemos que tenían fe?
Well, it was being demonstrated, wasn't it?
Porque se demostró.
They said, we know Jesus can heal this paralyzed man.
Ellos decían, Nosotros sabemos que Jesús puede sanar a este paralítico.
And they said, we're not going to let anything stop us. We're going to bring him to Jesus.
Y dijeron, no vamos a dejar que nada nos pare. Vamos a traer este hombre a Jesús.
And so even if it meant digging a hole through the roof and bringing him down that way, they did it, and that took faith.
Aunque era necesario hacer lo que hicieron, ellos iban a hacerlo para traerlo a Jesús, y tomó fe.
And in verse 5, the scripture says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you.
Versículo 5 dice, al ver Jesús la fe de ellos, dijo al paralítico, hijo, tus pecados te son perdonados.
Now, first, sometimes.
Primeramente, a veces.
Sometimes a person's sin and their sickness are linked together.
A veces el pecado y la enfermedad están conectados.
There was something about this man's being paralyzed that was linked to the man's sin.
Había algo de este hombre en ser paralítico que estaba conectado en también ser pecador.
And sometimes, until that person repents of that sin, they stay sick.
Y a veces, hasta que la persona se arrepienta de su pecado, puede mantenerse enfermado.
However, that doesn't mean that if a person is sick, that doesn't automatically mean they're in sin.
Pero esto no quiere decir que si alguien se encuentra enfermo, tiene que estar conectado que se encuentran en pecado.
But there are instances like we're seeing here, where the person's sin is linked to their sickness.
Pero a veces es así como leemos en esta historia que la enfermedad estaba conectado con el pecado.
There are some that are so bitter in spirit, bitter in their hearts against God, against life.
Hay personas que tienen tanta amargura en contra a Cristo en su vida.
And sometimes that individual is very sickly.
Y a veces esa persona se puede encontrar enfermo.
There are some that hold grudges and unforgiveness to an extent that it makes them sick.
A veces hay personas que no quieren perdonar hasta que los hace también estar enfermos.
And that's why it's important to walk right with God.
Por eso es muy importante andar bien delante de Dios.
But let me say it again.
Pero una vez más quiero decir,
that does not mean if we get sick, we're in sin.
No quiere siempre decir que si estamos enfermos, automáticamente es por razón de pecado.
But there are times where it's linked together.
Pero sí hay veces que están conectados.
Jesus says to him, son, your sins are forgiven you.
Jesús le dijo, hijo, tus pecados te son perdonados.
Brother Pedro, did you have a question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the young man was born blind. And his disciples asked him, Lord, was it for his sin or the sins of his parents mm-hmm. that he was born blind? Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, no, this he was born this way for the glory of God and so that God could show his power. Mm-hmm. And so that happens as well. Mm-hmm. But going back to this, remember, there can be a link between sin and sickness at times, but not all the time. Mm-hmm. Amen? So there needs to be the appropriate view concerning these things. So we don't want to go and say to someone, oh, well, repent of your sin. That's why you're sick, you know, and they're not even mm-hmm. in sin.
El hermano Pedro recordó en la Biblia la historia del hombre que nació ciego y le preguntaron a Jesús, ¿por qué está ciego? ¿Por razón de sus padres, sus pecados? Y Jesús dijo, no, pero para que el hombre... pero para que el Hijo de Dios sea glorificado. Y el pastor dice que necesitamos entender bien que no todo el tiempo que tenemos enfermedades es conectado en pecado como esa historia.
Was Job a sinner that he went through the trial he went through?
La pregunta es, ¿era pecador Job y por eso pasó por su prueba?
No, he wasn't.
No.
But remember, his friends were saying, you know, it's because you're in sin or you did something wrong that you're experiencing this trial.
Pero recuerde, sus amigos le condenaban y le decían, es porque estás en pecado, Job, por eso estás pasando por esta prueba.
And sometimes that was the understanding in that day and even till today sometimes.
Y en esos días, aún hasta este día, por eso puede pasar que mal entendemos esa conexión.
Now Jesus tells that man, son, your sins are forgiven you.
Pero Jesús dijo, hijo, tus pecados te son perdonados.
And when Jesus makes that statement,
y cuando Jesús declaró estas palabras,
all of a sudden the Pharisees and the religious people get stirred.
De repente se enojaron los fariseos y los líderes religiosos.
Look at verse 6 and 7. It says, but some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak such blasphemies?
Verso 6 dice, estaban allí sentados algunos de los escribas, los cuales pensaban para sí, ¿por qué habla este de ese modo? Blasfemias dice.
And it also says, who can forgive sins but God alone?
Y dice, ¿quién puede perdonar pecados, sino solo Dios?
Now, what this verse is beginning to speak, and the religious people caught it very well.
Y lo que este verso empieza a enseñar, y los religiosos entendieron muy bien.
This is pointing to the divinity of Christ, that Jesus is God.
Esto apuntaba a la divinidad de Jesucristo, que Jesús es Dios.
Because the religious leaders are right here. They said, who can forgive sins but God alone?
Porque hablaban correctamente en preguntar quién puede perdonar pecados sino solo Dios.
And so when he says, son, your sins are forgiven you, he's in essence saying, I am God.
Entonces cuando Jesús dijo, hijos, tus pecados son perdonados, Jesús declaraba, yo soy Dios.
But to the religious leaders, it was blasphemy because he was claiming to be God.
Pero a los líderes religiosos se escuchaba como blasfemia porque ellos no creían que él era Dios.
And so for him to claim to be able to forgive this man's sins is to claim that he's God.
Entonces para él poder decir que los pecados estaban perdonados, él clamaba que era Dios.
Now let's go to the next point.
Nuestro segundo punto es,
which is spiritual and physical healing.
Sanidad espiritual y física.
And we'll read verses 8 through 12.
Vamos a leer versos 8 a 12.
Now, keep in mind that these religious leaders are upset with Jesus.
Recuerde, estos líderes religiosos estaban enojados con Jesús.
And so he's going to point to his authority.
Y él iba a apuntar a su autoridad.
His authority to be able to forgive man's sin by healing this individual.
A su autoridad de poder perdonar y sanar al enfermo.
For you see, forgiving someone of their sin isn't something visible.
Porque en perdonar sus pecados no era algo visible.
However, when it's confirmed by this paralyzed man getting up and walking.
Sin embargo, en ser confirmado en este paralítico andando.
That is evidence of Jesus' authority.
Era evidencia de la autoridad de Jesucristo.
Somebody want to read verses 8 through 12.
Vamos a leer 8 a 12.
These statements that Jesus is making are bold declarations of his authority.
Estas palabras que Jesús declaraban eran fuertes verdades de su autoridad.
Now, as we see here in verse 8,
como leemos en versículo 8,
Jesus discerned in the Spirit their thoughts.
Jesús entendió por medio del Espíritu sus pensamientos.
Now, I want to just make a quick statement here.
Quiero hacer, decir algunas palabras aquí.
Our non-Pentecostal friends,
nuestros amigos que no son pentecostales,
will say that Jesus knew their thoughts because he was God in the flesh.
Pueden declarar que Jesús entendió sus pensamientos porque él es Dios en la carne.
Now, it's true, Jesus is God in the flesh.
Y es verdad, Jesús es Dios en la carne.
But he lived his life as a man here on earth, fully as a man.
Pero la verdad es que Jesús vivió su vida aquí en la tierra como ser humano.
But he was full of the Holy Spirit.
Pero también lleno del Espíritu Santo.
So then how did he understand what they were thinking?
Entonces, ¿cómo pudo entender lo que ellos pensaban?
These are the gifts of the Spirit in operation in Christ Jesus.
Estos eran los dones del Espíritu Santo operando en Jesucristo.
It says Jesus perceived in his spirit.
Dice, y conociendo luego Jesús en su espíritu,
that they were reasoning these things among themselves.
Que pensaban de esta manera dentro de sí mismos.
This discernment, or this, what Christ was discerning,
lo que Jesús estaba entendiendo en el Espíritu,
was the gift of a word of knowledge being in operation in Christ Jesus.
Era el don de la palabra de sabiduría en operación en Jesucristo.
God, the Holy Spirit, was sharing with him what these people were thinking so that he could respond to them.
Dios, el Espíritu Santo, estaba enseñando a Jesús lo que estaban pensando para que Jesús pudiera declarar que él sabía lo que estaba pensando.
So then he tells them,
entonces Jesús les dice,
why are you thinking these things?
¿Por qué piensas así?
And so he says, is it easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk?
Verso 9 les pregunta, ¿qué es más fácil? ¿Decir al paralítico, tus pecados te son perdonados? ¿O decirle, levántate y toma tu camilla y anda?
Jesus is confronting their manner of thinking.
Jesús desafió su manera de pensar.
And so he tells them, so that you will know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.
Verso 10, pues para que sepas que el Hijo del Hombre tiene potestad en la tierra para perdonar pecados.
He said to that paralytic man, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, go your way to your house.
Dijo al paralítico, a ti te digo, levántate, toma tu camilla y vete a tu casa.
And this guy gets up and walks.
Y este hombre se levantó. Y pudo andar.
He walks home and they're in amazement. They're in shock.
Y el grupo se asombraron en ver esto.
And they said, we've never seen anything like this.
Y declararon, nunca hemos visto.
This miracle was an outward sign of Jesus' authority to forgive sins.
Este milagro era una enseñanza del poder de Jesús para perdonar pecados.
Now we need to remember that sickness began with the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden.
Tenemos que recordar que la enfermedad empezó en la caída del hombre en el jardín de Edén.
Sickness is a part of the death that came upon the human race.
La enfermedad es parte de la muerte que vino sobre el la humanidad.
But the atonement that Jesus provides gives both forgiveness and physical healing.
Pero Jesús puede traer puede perdonar pecados y sanar al enfermo.
And what Jesus did here was he demonstrated his ability to perform spiritual healing, which is forgiveness.
Y lo que Jesús hizo aquí en esta historia es de enseñar su habilidad de sanar espiritualmente, que son en perdonar pecados.
But he also can provide physical healing as well.
Y también en proveyendo la sanidad físicamente.
Now let's go to the second part this morning.
Parte dos.
Because another issue comes up about eating and fasting.
Acerca de la comida y el ayuno.
Mark chapter 2, verses 15 through 17.
Marcos 2, 15 a 17.
And it describes why Jesus came.
Nos describe por qué vino Jesús.
Now, many of these traditions that the people held in Jesus' day,
muchos de estas tradiciones que mantenieron en el día de Jesús,
they were traditions that they wanted to defend.
Eran tradiciones que querían defender.
And sadly, these human traditions can be like golden calves.
Y tristemente, estas tradiciones del hombre pueden ser como ídolos.
Sometimes these traditions can be in our churches.
A veces pueden entrar aún en nuestras iglesias.
It's like certain things that have been always been done this particular way.
Pueden ser tradiciones que siempre se han hecho de alguna manera.
And then a new pastor comes in and they don't know the traditions.
Y luego entra un nuevo pastor que no conoce esa tradición.
So then he doesn't do it like they used to do it.
Y ese pastor no lo hace de la misma manera.
Then all of a sudden the people get riled up.
Y de
Not
repente
everybody.
Se pueden enojar la congregación, no todos, pero... Se pueden.
He shouldn't be doing it that way.
Y piensan, no debe de hacerlo de esa manera.
And what happens is we're messing with golden calves.
Y lo que está pasando es que estamos conectándonos con tradiciones de hombre.
We need to be careful with these kinds of traditions.
Y tenemos que tener cuidado con tradiciones de hombre.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God it's not a problem here at Center Assembly of God.
Pero
Amen.
Gracias a Dios que no es problema aquí en
But
nuestra
it,
iglesia.
It is a problem in some churches.
Pero generalmente sí puede ser problema.
Look at these next verses, verses 15 through 17.
Vamos a leer 15 a 17.
I'll read these ones if you don't mind, and it says this. As Jesus was at supper in his house, now keep in mind, that Matthew has just been saved. Another name for him is Levi.
Vamos a leer y recordar que en esta parte, Mateo, quien también se conocía como Leví, se había sido salvado.
He's following Jesus
y
now.
Estaba siguiendo a Jesús.
And so he ends up at Matthew's, Jesus ends up at Matthew's house.
Y aquí se encontró Jesús en la casa de Mateo,
and it says,
o Leví.
As Jesus was at supper in his house, many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes, the Pharisees, saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Mm-hmm. Now these verses begin to show why Jesus came.
Estos versos nos enseñan por qué vino Jesús.
Jesus ends up in Matthew's house, and of course, Matthew's friends join in.
Jesús se encontró en la casa de Mateo y también los amigos de Mateo estaban allí.
And many of them began to follow Jesus.
Y muchos de ellos empezaron a seguir a Jesús.
But the Pharisees and those that were religious, the scribes and the Pharisees,
pero los escribas y los fariseos,
they did not like tax collectors.
Ellos no querían parte con los recordadores de impuestos.
They were like outcasts in the eyes of the Jews.
En los ojos de los judíos no les gustaban a ese tipo, ese grupo.
To them, they were like traitors or collaborators with the enemy.
A ellos parecían como traidores o colaboradores del imperio.
And sometimes they did do wrong with how they handled certain finances.
Y a veces sí hicieron males en la manera que trabajaban financieramente.
And so because of that, some of them were expelled from the synagogues.
Y por esa razón, algunos de ellos tenían que salir del sinagogo.
And then there was another group that was there eating and sitting there with Jesus.
Y había otro grupo que estaba ahí junto con Jesús.
The first group were tax collectors.
El primer grupo era recaudadores de impuestos.
The other ones were simply called sinners.
Y el otro grupo simplemente se llamaban pecadores.
Many of these were people like adulterers, thieves, and prostitutes.
Muchos de ellos eran adulterios, prostitutas y ladrones también.
They were sinners.
Pero eran todos pecadores.
But thank God that these people were listening to Jesus.
Y gracias a Dios que esta gente escuchaba a Jesús.
And so these Pharisees and these scribes began to mumble. They began to talk about Jesus behind his back.
Y este grupo de fariseos y líderes religiosos empezaron a hablar en contra de Jesús.
They didn't come to Jesus directly.
No vinieron directamente a Jesús.
Instead, they went to Jesus' disciples.
En vez de eso, vinieron a los discípulos de Jesús.
And he asked them, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?
Y dijeron a los discípulos, ¿qué es esto que él come y bebe con los publicanos y pecadores?
And in response to this, Jesus gives his purpose of ministry.
Y en responder, Jesús enseñó su propósito de ministerio.
In a way, he's saying, this is the very reason why I've come.
Y está declarando, por esta razón vine.
He says to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.
Jesús les dijo, los sanos no tienen necesidad de médico, sino los enfermos.
He says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
No he venido a llamar a justos, sino a pecadores.
And so he tells them, this is the reason why I've come.
Y Jesús declaró, por esta razón vine.
I have come to save the lost.
Vine a salvar al pecador.
But he's coming to those that will admit their need for a Savior.
Y viene a los que pueden reconocer que tienen necesidad para el Salvador.
You see, it's those that are ready to admit their need for a Savior that will receive him.
Es ese grupo que reconoce su necesidad que van a recibir al Salvador.
And until they realize they're sinners,
y hasta que ellos pueden reconocer que son pecadores,
they will stay in their self-righteousness.
Van a quedarse en su justicia humana.
But it's the sinners.
Pero eran estos pecadores
that need a Savior.
Que necesitaban Salvador.
Now, this next part brings out a time to fast.
Este segundo parte nos habla de un tiempo de ayunar.
Now, again, Jesus is dealing with certain traditions here.
Una vez más, Jesús estaba tratando con tradiciones.
And so look at what happens or what arises here in verses 18 through 22.
Vamos a leer lo que pasó aquí en versos 18 a 22.
Somebody want to read those verses 18 through 22? In this portion, Jesus is going to deal with another issue.
En esta porción de escritura, Jesús trata con otra tradición.
Some of the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees had been fasting.
Algunos de los discípulos de Juan el Bautista y los fariseos estaban ayunando.
Fasting is a common practice, a time when a person dedicates time to draw near to God.
El ayuno es un tiempo cuando una persona se puede acercar a Dios.
And it's a way to draw near to God without the distraction of food.
Y es una manera de acercarse a Dios sin la distracción de comida.
And so they noticed that Jesus' disciples, they didn't fast.
Pero aquí se fijaron que los discípulos de Jesús no estaban ayunando.
And so Jesus tells them simply, they can't fast while the bridegroom is with them.
Y Jesús les explicó simplemente, ellos no pueden ayunar mientras que el esposo está con ellos.
He likens the disciples to the wedding guests.
Y él comparó a los discípulos a los que asisten a la boda.
And then he likens himself to the bridegroom.
Y él se compara como el esposo o el novio.
Usually when we go to a wedding, that's not a day to fast.
Cuando nosotros vamos a una boda, ese no es un tiempo de ayunar.
Especially when you're going to the food and celebration afterwards, right?
Especialmente cuando vamos a celebrar después en comer juntos.
We're really not too wise to choose that as a fasting day.
No es algo con sabiduría en escoger una día de boda para ayunar.
In those days, you know, celebrations took place just like today.
En esos días, las celebraciones tomaron lugar así como hoy.
And so he says, look, I'm the bridegroom, they're the wedding guests, it's not time to be fasting, I am here.
Y Jesús declaró que él representaba el novio y ellos representaban los que asistieron la boda y dice, yo estoy aquí, no es tiempo de ayunar.
But then he tells them, look, the day is coming when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days.
Pero 20 dice, verso 20 dice, pero vendrán días cuando el esposo les será quitado, y entonces en aquellos días ayunarán.
Now, fasting in the Bible takes several different forms.
En la Biblia, el ayuno toma diferentes formas.
And the simplest way is abstaining from food during a set period of time for a spiritual purpose.
La manera más simple es de ayunar de comer con un propósito de acercarse a Dios.
It's a time to draw near to God.
Es tiempo de acercarse a Dios.
Some have called fasting a silent prayer.
Algunos le han llamado el tiempo de ayunar una oración en silencio.
But there's a time that we need a breakthrough, and we just being led by the Spirit, we choose to fast and pray.
Hay veces que necesitamos acercarnos a Dios y sacrificar un tiempo para ayunar y no comer.
Now, again, the most popular way is to fast food for a set amount of time.
El más conocido manera es de ayunar comida por un tiempo.
There's other types of fast known as the Daniel fast.
Hay otros tipos de el ayuno que uno es que se conoce el ayuno de Daniel.
The Daniel fast is a type of fasting where you're not eating all this delicious kind of food.
Y este tipo de ayuno es cuando estás comiendo, pero no estás comiendo comidas muy sabrosos o muy dulces o muy ricos.
It's really bland food.
Es comida muy simple, sin mucho sal o mucho sabor.
Yeah, it's just enough to not fill your belly, but just keep you going.
es simplemente comida para dar energía, pero no con mucho azúcar y cosas de rico.
You know, for instance, if you're diabetic,
por ejemplo, si alguien es diabético,
it's not a good idea to fast for 3 days without eating anything.
No es algo bueno de ayunar por 3 días sin comer nada.
I mean, your blood sugar will fall so low you'll end up fainting or something.
Porque su azúcar puede caer muy bajo y no te vas a sentir bien.
But that's where you do like a Daniel fast.
Y en tiempos así, la persona puede decidir hacer un ayuno como Daniel.
You like eat little crackers.
Puedes comer como galletas de sal.
Or something that'll keep your blood sugar at the right level, but you're still eating in a minimal way, not a lot.
Algo que te puede mantener y mantener su nivel de azúcar, pero no estás comiendo un gran porción de comida.
And so fasting is a means whereby we draw near to God.
Y el ayuno es una manera de acercarnos a Dios.
And we deprive our flesh of food for the sake of being strong in the spirit.
Y nos decidimos decir no a la comida por la razón de acercarnos en el espíritu a Dios.
And so I have these handouts if anybody wants one.
Tengo aquí papel que describe un poco acerca del ayuno.
And it's called Why Fast.
Titulado ¿Por qué ayunar?
And it has mentions many things, like for instance, you may fast as the Holy Spirit is leading you in a new direction.
Y menciona las razones si Jesús está dirigiéndonos para ayunar.
God may be leading you in a new direction and you need to hear from God.
Quizás Dios está guiándote a una nueva dirección y necesitas escuchar a Dios.
For instance, it says you may fast to help you develop a hunger for God's word.
O quizás estás ayunando para tener más hambre para la palabra de Dios.
You may fast to help hear direction from God more clearly.
O para poder escuchar más claramente la voz de Dios.
And so it's pretty neat because it has the scriptures so you can study it along with why fast.
Y este papel también tiene las escrituras para buscar y entender acerca más del ayuno.
Well, usually it's up to you and the Lord. It could be half the day. It can be one meal, you know, one meal out of the day. It could be two meals out of the day. It could be, you know, the whole day fasting. Some days you can say, I want to fast food and water just for the day. You never want to go beyond one day without water. You know, only unless God calls you to it and you hear his voice say, I want you to fast food and water for 3 days, only then you fast water like that. Because without water, you're going to die. You know, food, you can last 40 days before you're technically starving. Water, you can't last that long. So always stay, you know,
hydrated
when you're fasting. But you can fast a day without water, you know. But again, it's between you and the Lord, as the Lord is leading you. You know, sometimes fasting can take on things like, I'm going to fast social media for 2 weeks. I'm not going to watch any television, and my cell phone is going to be turned off today. That's a form of fasting as well, because you're depriving yourself of something that is important to you, but with the purpose of being without distraction and seeking God. But yes, you can do it at a particular set time from 9 to 5 or, you know, or certain meals or, you know, it's really between you and the Lord how that works. You know, and it's an offering in a way that you're giving to God. And so there's really no right nor wrong way, technically. The only thing I would advise is be wary of fasting water. You know, that's, you know, stay away from that. You know, if anything, just, you know, have something to keep yourself hydrated.
I'm just going to say it in Spanish real quick. Un consejo muy importante es de no ayunar agua por más de un día, porque es muy importante para nuestros cuerpos tener agua. Mm-hmm. Si queremos ayunar comida, es una cosa delante de Dios decidir, pero la agua es importante tener. It's very important.
Yeah, in Roman Catholicism and what they do for Lent is they give up, yes, a particular thing. Now, it's also in light of Jesus when he went into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days. Mm-hmm. And so they're taking that from that portion of Scripture. Now, with Lent season, they do that for 40 days in regards to a certain thing that they give up, but they're not necessarily fasting everything. You know, I remember when I was a young Catholic, I would give up Pepsi, you know. And so my Pepsi would pile up, you know. And so then when it was, you know, Easter time, all of a sudden, I'm just drinking my Pepsi, you know. So you'd give up a particular thing. Now, the thing is the same. They're giving up something that's precious to them for a season. I remember in catechism when I was a young kid, we had to go around and say what we were going to give up, and there was this little girl that gave up pickles. I remember we just laughed. Pickles, that was her thing, you know. But yeah, that it comes from that biblical account when Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Now, in Roman Catholicism, you're giving up a particular thing versus everything like Jesus did. But yes, that's where that comes from.
La pregunta estaba acerca de los romanos católicos cuando ellos hacen un ayuno de 40 días y el pastor contestó que lo hacen también porque Jesús ayunó por 40 días en el desierto y a veces por esa razón pueden ayunar. Cuando él era niño ayunó Pepsi, una niña ayunó pepinos, pero sí, ellos siguen esa entendimiento de la Biblia, de lo que Jesús hizo.
Those kinds of fasts were led by the Spirit, you know. It's really miraculous for that to happen. For instance, it happened other times. Remember when Moses went into the mountain to get the law, he stayed there for 40 days. He hadn't eaten anything. He didn't drink anything for those 40 days. So there was this miraculous sustaining that he was sustained by the Spirit and by God. Remember, Elijah did the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, but he, you know, before he went to that place of fasting, God sent those
ravens
to feed him. He said, eat this bread, you know, whatever, drink this water. And when he did, he left and he for another 40 days without eating or drinking after he ate that food. Now, again, unless God has really led that, you know, usually people don't do that. You know, it's really uncommon. There's been some people that have tried, you know, trying to show their devotion to God. But unless we're specifically told by God to do that, we really shouldn't go that route, you know. God understands our sacrifice if it's even an hour, you know, if it's one meal versus 40 days. Now, sometimes the need may bring us to the point of fasting. Remember Queen Esther?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, she says, fast food and water for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they did the water for 3 days, and God intervened, even though the Bible or that story never mentions the name God once. His intervention and his what he was doing in the midst of that story is evident.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, we need to be led, especially when you're going to go for longer periods of time and or water. Well, I know in Roman Catholicism, you know, there is the element where doing these things takes on a particular work. So I have to, you know, there's the element of doing works so as to please God by what we're doing. And so it's taking on that element, whereas in true Christianity, we understand that all of our works will never measure up. So we're saved by grace, we're justified by faith. And so our striving to work really ceases in Christ. We do this now, for instance, fasting. We fast because we want to draw near to God. And we're doing that so as to be without distraction and draw near versus I'm doing this to please God mm-hmm. and earn something from him. And so there's a difference there. Now, there is a scripture, where Paul said, I beat my body into subjection. And what he's talking about is discipline mm-hmm. in regards to he was disciplined in his relationship with God that he would at times deprive himself of certain things maybe he could have or would have wanted. And so he deprived himself of that so as to stay focused on God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that did not mean he got a whip and whipped himself.
Mm-mm.
And so it became a practice in the early church what's called ascetism.
Mm-hmm.
And ascetism was the practice of beating oneself up, whipping oneself, walking forever, wearing clothes that had they called it hair shirts. I mean, you know when you get a little hair and stuck in your shirt and you're like, oh, you got to get that thing out of there? You ever gotten something like that before? A hair shirt was something that was very uncomfortable, but they wore it to try to earn something with God, as if, you know, if you fasted this much or you beat yourself up this much, I'm earning something in God's sight. I'm becoming more holy, and this is an area where, you know, that's not what God is wanting. He wants our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so fasting is a means, it's a way for us to draw near to God, to show God we're serious about drawing near to him, but we're not doing that to work our way or to earn something with God. We're just drawing near to him and we're pleading with God, I need an answer. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I don't know. She'll summarize that, I think, in Spanish.
Eran buenos pensamientos acerca del ayuno, pero el pastor explicó que el ayuno es para acercarnos a Dios en corazón, no de ganar por medio de nuestras buenas obras. Y explicó aún más de eso, pero era el punto.
And so, ultimately, what we do for God, we need to do it so that we draw near, we stay mm-hmm. disciplined, we're expressing to him our love for him.
Últimamente, debemos de ayunar con el propósito de acercarnos a Dios
and just show our love to him.
Y enseñarle nuestro amor a él.
Now, this last point I'm going to summarize.
Este último punto, parte 3.
Just because time goes by way too fast when we're having fun.
El tiempo pasa muy rápido aquí.
So one of the issues was fasting.
Uno de los cosas que Jesús habló era acerca del ayuno.
And so he began to share, no, you don't have to. He even said, for instance, you don't sew a new piece of cloth on an old garment.
Jesús usó el ejemplo que no vamos a poner nadie pone remedio de paño nuevo en vestido viejo.
And then he used the example of wineskins.
Y también usó el ejemplo de lo viejo del vino.
And the reason why is because of this.
Y la razón era esto.
If you put a new piece of cloth on an old piece of cloth,
si ponemos un paño nuevo en un vestido viejo,
that thing that hasn't been pre-shrunk is going to shrink.
The new
piece of cloth will shrink.
El pedazo nuevo de paño se va a ser más chico.
And so then it's going to make the tear worse.
Y se va a romper más peor.
With the wineskins,
y el vino, 22. Y acerca de el vino nuevo,
it's in verse 22.
En versículo 22, nos dice, y nadie echa vino nuevo en odres viejos.
Now, what would take place is this.
Lo que tomaba lugar era esto.
The new wine would be placed into old wineskins.
El vino nuevo se ponía en los odres viejos.
Those old wineskins had already been stretched and everything because they've already held wine.
Esos odres viejos ya se habían estirado.
But if you put new wine in the old wineskins,
y si pones nuevo vino en ese lugar viejo,
what would begin to happen is, as that new wine begins to ferment and begins to grow old, it begins to expand in the old wineskin.
Ese nuevo vino empezaba a engrandecer en ese odre viejo.
And so it would rip or it would burst the wineskin.
Entonces se quebraba el viejo odre.
And so, in other words, you put new wine in new wineskins.
Entonces, debemos de poner nuevo vino en nuevo lugar.
So that as it ferments and as it begins to expand, it stretches with it.
Para que puedan engrandecer juntos.
And so this was just saying everything new had come.
Y esto enseñaba que lo nuevo había venido.
Now another issue came up about the Sabbath day.
Y otra tradición salió acerca de el día de reposo.
And the Pharisees had a lot of traditions revolving around keeping the Sabbath.
Los fariseos tenían muchas tradiciones acerca del día de reposo.
Jesus would tell them, God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Jesús declaró, Dios hizo el día de reposo para el hombre, no el hombre para el día de reposo.
And so what Jesus would bring out is that he is Lord of the Sabbath.
Y Jesús declaró que él era el Señor sobre el día de reposo.
And he uses a biblical example of David, how he ate the meat that was consecrated for the priests.
Y usó el ejemplo de cuando David en el Antiguo Testamento comió
the bread, I should have said.
Comió el pan
that was consecrated for the priests.
Que estaba consecrado para los sacerdotes.
And when he says God made the Sabbath for man,
y cuando dice que Dios hizo el día de reposo para el hombre,
the Sabbath day was meant to be a day of rest.
El día de reposo debía de ser un día de descanso.
It's a time when man or the families would get together.
Era el día cuando las familias se juntaban.
It's time that they would set aside that day to seek the Lord.
Y también separaban ese día para buscar a Dios.
But it wasn't that the Sabbath was made, or man wasn't made for the Sabbath.
Pero no era que el hombre era hecho para el día de reposo.
You see, and the Pharisees began to say, if anybody did hardly anything, if they just did something on the Sabbath, they were breaking the law.
Y los fariseos empezaron a declarar, cualquier cosa que hombre hacía era un pecado y quebraban la ley.
So then Jesus would bring out the truth that it's important that we do good on the Sabbath.
Y Jesús enseñó que era muy importante hacer lo bueno en el día del reposo.
And he showed that by healing a man in the midst of all of those Pharisees on the Sabbath day.
Aún Jesús lo enseñó cuando sanó el hombre en el día de reposo.
And you see, Jesus was breaking their traditions.
Y aquí Jesús estaba quebrando las tradiciones de los fariseos.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God that we can serve the Lord and not live in condemnation.
Gracias a Dios que podemos servir a Dios y no tenemos que vivir en condenación de hombre.
Quickly, let's do the ministry in action.
Rápidamente vamos a mirar el ministerio en acción.
First, pray with or for someone who is ill.
Primeramente, queremos orar con alguien que está enfermo.
Secondly, consider fasting for at least one or two meals this week, using the time to pray for the needs which you are aware.
Segundamente, considere ayunar por lo menos una o dos comidas esta semana y usa el tiempo para orar por las necesidades que conozca.
And then lastly, evaluate your own rules for living in order to see which ones may just be traditions rather than commands from God.
Tercer, evalúe sus propias reglas de vida para ver cuáles pueden ser tradiciones en lugar de mandamientos de Dios.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this lesson this morning. We ask that you would cause it, Lord, even to speak to our lives during the week. We pray that you would continue to be with us through the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.